I personally do feel that the next year means 2012, I think, yes, it's a year which is hotly discussed in the world. I don't want to bore you with what I have heard about it, because it's, who knows. But one thing I do know is that the fragile situation, fragile means it can go in this direction or another direction, of many things, including our own society, is very much dependent on our ability to connect with others and to help others. I should add, I don't think this the situation of ISKCON is fragile. I didn't mean that, you know, the world has a difficult economic situation and all of that. No. In our ISKCON society, I do feel really that there are many very, very positive signs. For instance, the enthusiasm for the Holy Name all over the world shows for me a return to the essence which Srila Prabhupada really emphasized. And I don't think ISKCON is in a fragile situation. But I wanted to say it will be significantly easier in our society and in our life if we learn this simple skill to reach out to others, to become qualified really for sangha, for real association. And I have written about this in my New Year's message, as good as I can see it. It's maybe not so super mature and all, but soon we are just editing the message, and soon it's out, and you're certainly welcome to read and think about it. There I'm saying that the ability to show tolerance and goodwill, compassion, is something which pleases Krishna. There's a verse like this, I'm quoting this verse. And therefore it is important for us as devotees to learn to show and live compassion. This is the gist. And there are many quotations and many things. But that's the gist, the point, the main point. So here in the Sangha Mela, I think we can all practice that a little. There are certainly devotees whom you have not yet contacted, devotees who look like, wow, that I think I should speak with this devotee. He looks somehow to me that we could talk about something interesting. I think you should utilize this a little bit more. Yesterday was for us the day where we all arrived and oriented ourselves in the different seminars, and we have a feel what this will be about, the Sangha Mela 2011. Starting from today, I really want to encourage you to use the Sangha, the association which is building up. There will be many more coming over the weekend to join us, to utilize this association and really make contacts which you can remember throughout the years. It means you have to open yourself a little bit and talk about things which are important for you. And you will see, you will get a lot. You can get really a lot. It's not just a little, but you can get really a lot. So that's the idea of the Sangha Mela. It's about, there are lectures and seminars and kirtans and many things if you study the schedule. But The real point is Sangha, and that's why we chose that name, that association. Good, so let us sing. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 9 of the 16th chapter, Canto 10, Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya. Tam prekshaniya sukamara gana vadatam. Shri vatsapita vasanam smita sundarasyam. Kridantam apratipayam kamalo darangrim. Sandasya marama surusha bujaya chachada. Tam prekshaniya sukumara gana vadatim. Tam prekshaniya sukumara gana vadatim. Shri vatsapita vasanam smita sundarasyam. Kridantam apatam pratibhayam kamalo darangrim. Sandasya mama surusha bujaya chachada. I would like to bring all of you on board because some of you have kindly come yesterday, so during the day, and you might not know where we are. This is a very, very, very fantastic and highly inspiring Leela of Sri Krishna, which is special. Very, very special. It's called the Kaliya Damana Leela, means taming or subduing Kaliya. Kaliya is in a very, very special situation. All the demons who attacked Krishna in Braj were killed by Krishna, except for Kaliya. Why? Another question I want to ask. All the demons who confronted Krishna were killed by an expansion of Krishna, technically known as the Vasudev expansion. Kaliya alone was dealt by Krishna personally, which is clear when all these wonderful rasas or relationships to Krishna's devotees start. First and foremost, when Krishna, in the midst of the Leela, asked the gopis to dance with him on the hoods of Kaliya. Vasudev doesn't have a relationship to gopis. Vasudev Krishna, a four-armed Krishna. So these are questions which are very interesting, and I will not answer them now. Because you will find answers to these questions on your own. The Leela is especially relevant for us as devotees because the definition of Kaliya is Kaliya iti Kalaiya. It means that person is Kaliya who belongs to the black night, to the iron. That person who belongs to criticism, to pride, to deceit and cruelty, he is Kaliya. And we have found out yesterday that in the deep lake of our heart, there is unfortunately still this person who belongs to criticism. Do you sometimes criticize and are pride? And of course, this is something which unfortunately comes up while we are doing sadhana. In other words, although Kaliya is a real person with whom Krishna dealt, we find out later he is a fallen devotee who was once initiated by Ananta Shesha and who was married to wonderful Vaishnavis, the Nagapatnis. He is someone special, in other words, not just your ordinary demon, but he is someone who seems to live in our hearts as well. Rupa Goswami prays in his Govinda Virudavali. He says, Krishna, you once conquered Kaliya, but I don't think this Leela should be limited to this one time. There is a Kaliya living in the lake of my own heart. Please come and dance there. Rupa Goswami, Kaji. Yes, he says like this. So we can hear that this understanding that Kaliya represents the shadow, the inner darkness, if you want, is not just a modern understanding which has been formulated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a very ancient understanding. It's something which is simply the fact. So before we will read the translation of this beautiful verse, I want to just summarize what we heard yesterday. We heard the Leela, and we also heard a deeply moving point. Devotees came to me and said, Maharaj, this really, I thought about this the whole day, what you said at the end of the class. Well, the beginning of the class was all about the Leela, and the end was, towards the end, we heard how Krishna, when his cowherd boys were lying dead on the ground together with the cows who had all drunken this burning poison from Kaliya, you know, how Krishna revived them. Remember how he looked at them, not omas, you can ask Gaurahari what that means, you know, all together, but he looked individually, portion by portion, because he wanted to have a personal relationship, and he cried when he saw the people dying, lying on the ground, his dear friends and the cows. And by these tears, which the Lord cried for his devotees, they were revived and came back to life. That we heard in detail. Now, because Krishna so much cares for his devotees, he is now ready to take action. I will encourage my Jai Gopal. I have seen yesterday that you were three quarters of the lecture with us. Today, I think you should become
more present even than
maybe we need some fresh air. Maybe the good wife can bring Jai Gopal water, maybe, or no? So, we heard Krishna was ready to confront Kalyan. In English you say to take him on. Why did Krishna hesitate so long and tolerated how Kalya had poisoned really the whole part of the Yamuna? Do you remember? Yes, Jai Gopal? He was married to great Vaishnava ladies, yes, great devotees, and he did not want to create inconvenience, you know, by slaying their husband, and therefore. But he was now ready. He addressed his friends. See, by Kalia's burning poisons, the birds and the trees of Vrindavan have been killed, except for this one Kadamba tree. He pointed at the tree. He said, once Garuda took some nectar there and drank the nectar which made him immortal. And some of the nectar is still hidden in the hollow of the tree. And I want to climb this tree now to see with my own eyes the Amrita, the nectar of immortality. In the meantime, you please go some distance and take care of the cows. He wanted to hide his true emotions and intentions to fight with Kalia. And there are reasons. Then, when Krishna jumped into the waves of the Yamuna, the water overflooded the banks for 100 yards. That's 30 and something meters. And a huge wave of poison was created with foam. And the wave became stronger and stronger and smashed right into Kalia's face. I am here now for you. Krishna had announced himself. And as he landed in the poisoned Yamuna, he began to swim. Now you must know, whatever Krishna does is special, even his swimming. He's called Kalanidhi, the ocean of all fine arts, and when he swam, he made a very interesting sound. It was music. You know, we all know there's the art, you have glasses full of water, yes? Little water, bigger water. And then you go with a spoon, ding, bing, bing. I don't know if your children, you did this. If not, you can do with the children. It's an innocent little play where you can see how water and music is very much related. So Krishna made water music, a water concert. And it sounded beautiful, but when Kalia, this demon who was 8 miles long, heard the sweet music of Krishna entering his domain, he was disturbed. He was disturbed like anything. It sounded for him like a war roar. He had thousands of hoots, out of which 100 were prominent. And he came out of the water. He raised his hoots to inspect what was there. And Kalia was dangerous. He was deadly. He saw
What he saw is described in this Bhagavatam verse. I want to read it to you. It's very beautifully explained. Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, and then Shukadev describes how Krishna looked, who wore a yellow silken dhoti and was Sukumari. Sukumari means very delicate. His attractive body was shining like a glowing white cloud. A glowing white cloud. It must be that Krishna was swimming and there was a lot of white foam. His chest had the mark of Sri Vatsa. That's a little curling thing like this in golden. His face was smiling beautifully. Krishna always seems to smile. Even on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when everyone is tense, Krishna just smiles and talks to Arjuna. His feet resembled the whirl of a lotus flower, and the Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. Now when Kaliya saw him, he was in two minds. And you will read a little of the psychology of Kaliya now. When Kaliya saw that Krishna, he became full of doubt. I mean, that wave from Krishna's jumping into the water was so strong, it just had hit him into the face. And that was really a statement. I don't know if you have some experience in fighting, but when you have, you know, when two opponents are standing next to each other and one opponent spits the other in the face, that's called offensive. So Kaliya did such a thing. No, Krishna did such a thing. Wait a minute. This is the reaction, you know. So Kaliya came and saw Krishna. But when he saw him, a doubt came in his mind. Who is this boy that he can create such a disturbance? Then he thought, I heard he effortlessly killed my dear friend Agasura, who was also a giant snake. Then he thought, this boy must have mystic powers. He looks small, but he fights with unfair means. Still, I will take him into my coils and I will crash him to death. And then Shukadev Goswami describes the attack. Despite Krishna's wonderful appearance, you know, smiling, playing in the water, the envious Kaliya furiously bit him on the chest and enwrapped him in his coils. You must know that Kaliya had three weapons at his disposal. One was a short-range weapon, that is, he just bit people in wherever. The other was a long-range weapon. He could spit poison. Finished. Long-range weapon. The next was, he would take his huge body like a python around his victim and go like... And that was the end of them. So Kaliya did all of this to Krishna. He took Krishna, as Shukadev Goswami said, and completely wrapped him into his coils. Once one disciple of mine had to
had to go to the Amazonas on a special mission. It was government sponsored. They had to find a criminal there, and one of the members of the squads, Einsatztruppe in Deutsch, came upon a python who just took him around, you know, wrapped him around and just broke him into many pieces. And this is what Kali wanted to do with Krishna. But when he took Krishna into his coils, Yogamaya came and made a shield around Krishna. Shielded him, so ein Schutzschild, so that this Kaliya snake could not touch the beautiful body of Krishna. This is always the case as you hear this, because it will be in a tremendous fight, and some of you might faint, and pregnant women might have miscarriages right here. You have to remember, Krishna never can be attacked. He is Krishna, you know. How can a snake attack him? Just think about it. It's not possible. He's Krishna. So the boys who saw this, and I want to now deal a little bit with the reactions. The boys who saw this, what happened, they were devastated. When Krishna had jumped into the river of the Yamuna, the tidal wave came, and it came over the banks, and the boys all ran, you know, to not be hit by the poisonous water. But when the tidal wave receded and flew back, they saw that Krishna was in the water. So they ran back to the Yamuna, and they wanted to enter the Yamuna to fight with Krishna. But when they saw that it was already too late, Kaliya just immediately had grabbed him and wrapped himself around it, they were ready to commit suicide. They looked one time back before they made suicide. Do you know suicide? The suicidal person always looks back to the world one more time before he jumps, or he writes a letter of goodbye, you know. And so they were in this phase. It's a common phase in suicide. They look back and they saw the cows, and they felt, our cows, they need us. We somehow survive this and take care of our cows. And they went out of the river again. But they wanted to commit suicide. Their life, they felt, was meaningless without Krishna. The cows called out, first of all, piteously to Krishna. Moo! But then the fear dried up the water in their eyes so that they could not really weep. Please look at the relationships of Krishna's cows to Krishna. They were like dead creatures who stood up like dead bodies struck by lightning. This is the picture Sanatana Goswami uses. It is almost a Frankenstein picture, you know. When there is a dead body on the hill and there is a weather storm and the flesh comes, my God, this sounds so dark. But Sanatana Goswami gives this example. You know, the flesh will come into the dead body and they will jump, and it will look as if they are alive, but they are dead. Maybe you have seen. So the cows looked like this. They looked as if they were dead bodies who were struck by lightning. That is, they gave an appearance of being alive, but really they were dead. Den Anschein des Lebens haben sie gegeben. So nicely described. My God, is this an image, you know. They
called out to Krishna. Peacocks were there, animals were there, all came, and when they saw what had happened to their Krishna, they fainted. Even the trees and the plants, as they became aware that Krishna was in the coils, dem Schlangenleib, of Kaliya, they dried out. And this is a point which I want you to take notice of. Everyone in Braj is full of consciousness. There is no unconscious entity, nothing. Even the milk is conscious. When the milk saw that Mother Yashoda was breastfeeding Krishna, the milk was on the oven, was thinking, oh, Krishna drinks so much milk from Yashoda, we don't stand a chance that we can do seva for Krishna. Krishna will not like to drink anything more. And the milk thought, my life is useless now. I cannot do service for Krishna. So it boiled over, but it was not ordinary boiling over. The milk was getting ready to jump into the fire to commit suicide out of intense distress that it could not render seva to Krishna. Because Krishna was filling himself up with Mother Yashoda's milk. So they flow, the birds did not commit suicide immediately. They encircled the lake of Kaliya and they cried pitifully. They were there. Jackals began to howl at the sun. Smoke as black as buffalo horns rose in the sky. Three types of omens happened. Meteors were falling from the sky. The earth was quaking. It appeared as if the whole world was shaking when Krishna was in this dangerous situation. And on the body of living creatures, shivering happened. Men's left eyes started to twitch. When your left eye makes like this, then you know something is bad is coming. When the woman's right eye goes like this, then the woman knows. It's a little different. So, back in the village of Braj, Nanda and Yashoda looked at the sky as the meteors were falling down. They ran out of the house, which was shaken by the earthquake, and they began to interpret the twitching of their bodies, and they thought, oh no, Balaram is not with Krishna, and Krishna must have gotten himself in trouble. We know. And they ran out. All the Brijbasis followed them. Now, at the same time, as the Brijbasis started to run out of Braj, a very nice detail was there. Balaram was there celebrating his birthday. And he saw everyone was running by. And he began to shout out, Mitya, 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 it's false. Nothing wrong can happen to Krishna. He's Krishna. Then his own mother, Rohini, wanted to run. And he said, Mother, believe me, I'm Krishna's elder brother. I know Krishna. There's nothing wrong. And he used all his mental power to keep Rohini at home. There was a reason which we will hear later. Then Balaram also started to walk behind the Brijbasis. First he smiled. Now as the Brijbasis were running, they had only one clue where Krishna was. Can you imagine how the Brijbasis had an idea in which direction to run? They ran towards the Yamuna. Why? They saw Krishna's footprints on the ground. My dear devotees, there were billions or millions of cows. And you know when cows walk, they cover the whole earth with their footprints. But Krishna's footprints were distinctly visible because there is an unspoken agreement between all the creatures in Braj, the cows, the ants, the peacocks, the parrots, everyone, that never step on Krishna's footprints. Don't do this. Even the wind respects the presence of Krishna's footprints in the dust and will never, never extinct them. Never. Krishna's footprints should be there. So they all ran. Now, halfway, something happened. Krishna, Gopi Paranandana says, by telepathy, you know, I don't think this is a Sanskrit word, but it's a beautiful word. Krishna had inspired an old Brij Basi man, with a message. So the old man ran towards Vrindavan town. He was stumbling because he carried this message in his heart. He ordinarily would have fallen down and fainted, but Krishna's power kept him walking and running, you know. And he ran towards Braj with the message. And when he saw the Brij Basis already on their way coming and met them, he repeated the message which Krishna had put in his heart. Krishna is in the coils of Kaliya. Mother Yashoda thought, but I told him to not go there. And then fainted on the ground. All of them fell down when they heard this one message, Krishna is in trouble, and fainted. Then they got up and they cried so much that the whole pathway was bathed in the tears of the Brij Basis and became muddy. And that's why it took them a long time to go to the Yamuna. They tried to run, but it was very awkwardly slow they moved. I don't know if you have you ever run to a place where misery has happened and your mind wants to be there immediately, but you just can't seem to not be able to reach. It seems you have to run underwater. Are you living? Some of these things should be in our experience, no? So I want to make it short. I just can't tolerate to talk about this, the attack, how the Brij Basis suffered. I only can say so much. It was terrible. It was terrible. Once the devotees made in Boston a radio play, you know, with voices. And one of my god sisters, Sumati, enacted the voice of Yashoda. When Yashoda arrived at the banks of the Yamuna and saw Krishna finally, she could only say two words. Krishna! Krishna!
Krishna! Krishna!
Not so bad. So the tape of this radio play with Sumati's calling out in the voice of Mother Yashoda, Krishna, Krishna, was sent to Srila Prabhupada, who at that time, I believe, was in South of America, Florida and so on, Miami or something. And he listened to the tape and he enjoyed it very much. Now when there was Yashoda calling Krishna, Krishna, he said,
stop the tape. Prabhupada looked very serious. He said, tell her she should always chant like this. Always. Calling out for Krishna. Nicht gleichgültig, not absent-mindedly. But you can imagine Yashoda standing at the bank of the Kaliya Lake. She is ready to offer her life, to remove any discomfort from Krishna, to wipe his forehead so that there is no drops of perspiration. She's ready to do anything for the smallest pleasure of Krishna. She bathes the body of Krishna. She decorates Krishna every morning with one little thing. It has the claws of tigers. Tiger claws decoration. Have you seen in India? You can see this. They go, it's a silver thing like this, and then tiger claws. To ward off any inauspiciousness which could come to Krishna. She's so much into Krishna's protection. And now, Krishna is lying motionless in the coils of Kaliya. All the Brijbasis were crying, and you should come to the stage, according to Prabhupada, to start to cry for Krishna. There are two types of crying for Krishna, the beginners and the more advanced. Now this is a crying lesson. The first is philosophically called Atma Krandan. It's the Krandan means crying of the soul. I think you have already graduated into this school. The crying of the soul happens when you see that your material life is a waste of time. I think you all at the beginning of Krishna consciousness had this distinct realization. I don't want this life. Isn't it, Chaitanya Rasa? I just don't want it. Your soul was crying and you heard it. And Krishna heard it and he paved the way, hat den Weg geebnet, so that you could enter a spiritual process. Now comes the second. The second type of crying is when you chant like a child cries for the mother. At the beginning, your crying was more self-centered. Oh, I'm in misery. Now you must slowly come to the level which Prabhupada describes in his little article on chanting. On chanting, there in this article, he writes, we should chant like a child which cries for the mother. This is more Krishna conscious. In the beginning, your crying was self-conscious. Now it has to be advanced to the level that you really cry out for Krishna. When the gopis came to the Yamuna, they remembered Krishna's loving friendship. They remembered how Krishna had embraced them. They remembered how Krishna had smiled at them and sometimes communicated very confidential message through his smile. And they remembered the talks, says Shukadev Goswami. And you know, the gopis then saw something. They saw without Krishna, the three worlds are meaningless. They saw, says, due to the fire of separation, that for them the entire universe burned into ashes. There was no longer school left, no university left, no videotape left for them, no fitness studio left for them. Nothing which gives meaning to the to lives of ordinary souls. Everything was burned to ashes It became meaningless, like ashes are meaningless, due to the fire of separation from Krishna. That's why Prabhupada says we should chant like Yashoda. That was the idea. There was only one person, and I want to end with this, this Leela part, who was not disturbed. Could you imagine who this person is? Balaram, you know everything. Thank you for your... Balaram had in the beginning smiled when he heard about it. His smiling was, he had thought, Krishna never cares to play with me in my form of Sheshanaga. Sheshanaga, who keeps the planets on his head, but now he plays with an ordinary snake of this material world. You know, with me as Sheshanaga, he joked, you know, with Balaram Krishna plays, but with Sheshanaga, the powerful snake who keeps the universe alive, he never plays with me like this. But with this ordinary snake of the material world, he plays. He had smiled, he had laughed. But when he came to the lake of Kalia and saw the reactions of the Nanda, of the Brijbasis, he was totally moved. He saw all of them were ready to enter the Yamuna and commit suicide. So he had to use all his physical strengths. He had to use all his he had to use all his verbal strengths, and he had to look at them. Balaram stood there, and you know, just said, "No one passes me. It's not dangerous for Krishna. He is Krishna." And then he spoke. He can easily defeat Kalia. Don't worry. He's an insignificant water snake. And then others, he just looked at them. Don't go into the Yamuna. So when Balaram looks at you, you can't move 1 centimeter forward, you know. The others, he just looked. Leela, you know, like this. And this is important. Don't enter the lake of poison. Balaram indicated alone, you can't fight your own Kalia snake. It's dangerous. Your own tendency to criticize, you're finding pride, you're being prideful, you're being envious towards others. This is a serious problem. You can't fight with this alone. Don't enter the lake. You need Krishna's help. See, there is a big problem in our lives. We have this Kalia in our heart. And it manifests in our tendency to criticize devotees. This is the one thing, it's called Vaishnav Ninda, which is really Kalia. Ninda means a strong form of disregard. In Deutsch, eine starke Form der Geringschätzung. Actually, Mangala is translating. I think she knows all these words. And Kalia comes also out in our ordinary life when we are attacked by others, when we are misunderstood, when someone thinks we are doing and thinking something which we are not doing and thinking, but he spreads this rumor as if it is a fact.
We are often attacked by envy of other people. Have you sometimes been criticized? It happens, no? You all look at me. Not as if you are not saying anything. Please be free. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given us a very nice way how to deal with the kaliya of others. When others attack us. Do you want to know it? He says, if one refuses to enter into an argument with envious people, then they will automatically leave one alone. This is a secret for Braj Bhajan. You know, when people begin to criticize you or become angry at you, don't fight back. It's karma which takes its root. It has to come. You did it in something in the previous life. Now the karma is coming. Or you did something in this life. And so on. Just tolerate it. Let it come and let it go. Then you are free. Then there's no disentanglement. And forgive the person who offends you or who hurts you or who spits. I don't want to say now so graphically who spits poison on you. But who say, forgive them. If you don't forgive them, it will be more karmic entanglement with them. Let it go, let it go, let it go. An ignorant person, this is what Vidura says, tries to hurt someone else by their malice and criticism. But a wise person goes the other direction and forgives that critic. By forgiving that critic, you become free from all your bad karma. Isn't that an interesting teaching? By forgiving them, yes, may this be, you become free from all your bad karma. In the Udyoga Bhava, chapter 34 of the Mahabharata, Atri Muni addresses some saints. He says, if someone criticizes you, don't criticize them back. Rather, you should tolerate. If you tolerate, all the Sukritis of your critic comes to you. That means if they criticize you and you just tolerate, all the good qualities of them come to you and your bad qualities go to them. I mean, you can say as a devotee, I tolerate and bad qualities of me just assemble. Okay, where do I put it? And where am I strongest with my emotions? In the solar plexus area. And now, this critic is in Sweden. Where do we find him on the map? Stockholm? Carl Gustav Gorton? 31st! No, this you shouldn't do like this, About fault finding, this helps you to not be a fault finder. The Brihad Naradiya Purana says, a fault finder, the Sanskrit word is papa gananam. It means a person who has a notebook and he goes around.
Dudu Anandavadan wanted to fast, but when there was the feast, I write down all the details which happened.
A fault finder is someone who has a book where he keeps the sinful records of others. We have, like Chitragupta, who writes down Ram Gopal in the year 1964, you know, and then writes a Papa Gananam, someone who keeps a notebook. That's a fault finder. I have seen devotees are not like this. I've really seen this. You asked, some devotee has some difficulty with someone, and you ask them, what happened? And then the devotee said, many times they say, I don't know, you know, I'm really not that type of person who keeps a memory of what was this. But I have this impression that something is not correct with the situation. Do you know this from your own, that you just don't like to keep a notebook where you have the faults of others? Aren't you like that at all? Everyone looks at me. A fault finder who counts the faults of others is the lowest of men. If the faults which he sees are true, then the fault finder shares equally the amount of sin with the wrongdoer. In other words, if it was true that Ananda Vardhan did not fast but feast, and I find a fault in this, you know, then I get, what do I get? The same amount that, you know, I'm just, I mean, I'm giving an innocent example. I hope you all understand I'm not trying to find fault with Ananda Vardhan. And Ananda Vardhan always fasts, that I know. When they if, however, now listen to this. If, however, the faults are not true, that is, you imagine something to be there which is not there, then you get double the supposed reaction that the person would have gotten if he would have done what you think he has done, but what he didn't do. Is it clear or is it? I'm sorry, I'm not so good in expressing this. Therefore, my dear devotees, to find faults is the fastest way to hell. Let's make it simple. When others have the Kaliya mentality towards them, towards you, forgive them. But if you have the Kaliya mentality, just try to not do like this. I always keep this in mind because I'm a great fault finder. I really see everything plus more. I'm such a fault finder. But I know since quite some time that whenever I find faults, I just suffer. I have noted that. And I ask myself for a long time, why do I suffer? I'm just analytically correct. And the reason is I suffer because I get what the others get. There are what the other, the reactions of the others. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati acted in such a enigmatic, rätselhaft way. You know, there was a person who was following him around, and in all his lectures, he got up and said, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. He's just imagining things. He's not a proper sadhu. He really went strong, this offender. Every lecture he came, he had a lecture plan. He would, and he would, what we could say, destroy the faith in the talker. Imagine Adishesh gets up now and says, I will tell you now something about Satchinandan Swami, because I was with him for 3 years and we drove a red Mercedes. And I know one thing which you don't know. Listen to this. And he would say something of my innumerable faults to you, and you would say, okay, let's walk out of this lecture. You know, it's not relevant, you know. Huh?
Just Adishesha, myself, are very good friends. It's not. I'm just giving this example. And how would I feel? I would say, I never ever set my foot into the apartment of Adishesha. I'm just so hurt. Why did he do this? Why didn't he? This is my, you know. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's, you know, he heard after some time that the fault finder had died a natural death. Natural death. It was not that the disciples got on his case, you know. And you know, he cried and he said, my friend has died. Because the fault finder is serving a universal function. You know, he sets, one is, in a very simple way, when we should take, as a humble Vaishnav, he takes it by, oh, maybe there is this fault. I'm thinking this is a makes me humble at least. And the other is just a thing. He takes on the sin for the reactions, you know. I don't know. I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't feel happy that this. This is not the case of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that, you know, I don't even want to say it. But he felt this. He's my friend. He shows me, you know. So this is how. But to do this. To be tolerant in two ways. To tolerate that others criticize you or to tolerate your own Kaliya who wants to come out and go like this, revenge is sweet. You know, that Kaliya who wants to come out like this. You know, to tolerate it, you need Krishna's help. You need to be Krishna conscious. So we will end here now, but I want to make the point, to deal with Kaliya in these two situations, you need to be Krishna conscious. Or how one of my godbrothers said it so nice, the strength of tolerance comes by bhajan, by worship of Krishna. The strength to tolerate an impossible situation where either in your own heart you feel prideful or critic and you want to just destroy another person. I don't think this happens to any one of you, but something envious can happen to anyone. To tolerate that and deal with that, and the other is to deal if someone someone who attacks you. Therefore that Balaram stopped. The bridge passes, don't go into that lake. Let Krishna deal with the demon. And how Krishna dealt with Kaliya, which is so wonderful, I will tell. I will just tell you a little secret. When Kaliya had Krishna in the coils, Krishna was in ecstasy because he said, he's embracing me. Do you sometimes embrace when you see a Vaishnav? When you like him a little bit, you keep him for a short time. If you like him very much, you keep him for a long time. No? Are you like this also? So, Kaliya kept Krishna for a long time. And Krishna thought, Divya Singha said, my God, am I hearing this correct? You know, Krishna thought, Divya Singha, he's loving me so much. He's keeping me in his embrace. Do you want to hear another thought of Krishna? I will end with this. I'm tempted. He said, okay, Kaliya, now you have shown me your strengths. Thank you for showing me. But
now I will show you a little bit of my strength. And we will end here. Tomorrow you will see what it means when Krishna shows a little bit of his strength. So is it tomorrow? Do we have tomorrow? Yeah? Okay. And then we will end the katha. You will be amazed. You will be just simply amazed. And how the Brijbasis reacted and the loving dealings which happened. But now everyone is almost dead. Don't forget this. They all lie around. They just groan. They cry. The birds are in shrieking. The jackals howl. The trees fall. You know, it's Krishna is in trouble. This is where we end. But I wanted to give a little encouragement, you know, how Krishna took the whole situation. Shri Krishna ki! Shrimati Radha Rani ki! Go Premanandi! No. Then I will be. Let us close the book for today and put it to rest. Tomorrow we will again waken the book up. Good. No, I think we are a little late already. We are late, so we will not answer any questions. If you have them, I hope tomorrow we will be a little bit less. But there are so many details, and we want to hear the details. All right, before you leave, Bhagavad Dharma will just give us an orientation about the day, how the day. As we get the microphone ready, I want to repeat, thank you, my encouragement to you. Please use the Sangha Mela to have Sangha. Association. It's rare to meet so many devotees, and it's still rarer even to meet them in such a it's very rare to meet them in such a consciousness where they all are just wanting to hear about Krishna and chant and so on and so forth. So use your time, please. Very good. Hare Krishna.